Today on Real Life Radio.
Technology has taken on the look of a fairy tale. We would hail Spielberg and give him an Oscar for portraying this on the screen. God's going to do it for real. And he's not going to get an Oscar for it. In fact, he's going to get rejected for it. We live in a pretty amazing time, huh?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 3. He's continuing his series called The Book of Revelation. You know, judgment doesn't have to be our future. The Lord has made a way of escape for us, and he's ready to forgive with abundant grace and mercy all those who would come to him. Now, you see, we're told in advance that judgment is coming. Chapter 9 of Revelation warns us of the last half of the Great Tribulation. Now, this horrific time really is a difficult portion of Scripture, and those who will be there to experience it will be those who, when given the opportunity to respond to the gospel invitation, simply refused it, the one and only option to be rescued from hell. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that when the spiritual world meets the physical world, the two worlds collide. Angels from hell who were once bound will be released to kill a third of mankind. It's a scene of devastation as a result of mankind's willful act of rebellion against God. And now in his message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
What am I doing? Getting your eyes open to the understanding that the spirit realm, just because you can't see it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The truth of the matter is, there's spiritual for the good and spiritual for the bad entities all around us at all times. So much so that what he's talking about here is when the spiritual world meets the physical world, two worlds in collision, as it were. Now, we're talking about the great river Euphrates and that these demon sorts are bound there. The river Euphrates is 1,780 miles long. It is the most famous river in all of the Bible. You might say, well, I thought the Jordan River was. No, believe it or not, the river Euphrates has more biblical significance in fulfillment and appearance from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. 1,780 miles long. It is in what is known the cradle of civilization. Ladies and gentlemen, look to the map. Is that not the oil-rich nations of the world right there in that region? Isn't it interesting to note that after God had created the heavens and the earth was beautiful and wonderful, but isn't it interesting to note that that area was known as the Garden of God? That's where Adam and Eve used to live in that region, the Tigris and Euphrates River. You see, you got to be kidding me. It looks like a dump. And the environment's horrible. Yeah, isn't it bizarre? After the fall, after sin, look at that area now, and it's just devastated. It looks horrible. It is horrible. But what's interesting about that is this river flows through there, and with the abundance of all of that water through the Tigris and the Euphrates, you would think that that region of the world would be extremely blessed, and yet it's not. Some people have thought, isn't it interesting that perhaps the effervescence or the demonic influence of these four fallen angels that reside under the Euphrates River has an influence over the very topography and the climates of that region. That's a stretch, but it's interesting to consider that what was once the most beautiful place on the planet is actually a horrible place today. Isn't that interesting? You know what I love about that statement, the Euphrates River here in your Bible? Is what we learned a couple of weeks ago in Israel. You can open up your Bible, turn to the chapter verse, stand in the place, preach a Bible lesson to a tour of people while you're standing in the location of where it happened. My friend, if you're a skeptic, you've got to deal with the fact that the river Euphrates is mentioned in the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation and all the way in between. The book of the Bible deals with facts. Well, the Bible says in the spirit realm, there are four terribly ornery, evil, mean, ugly angels that have fallen. They're fallen angels. They're bound. And they're held under the great river Euphrates unto a day of judgment. That is a tremendous thing. You might want to jot this down. Jude chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. Who are these fallen angels? Jude 1 verse 5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew these things, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. What's that called, anyone? Judgment. And the angels, circle that. This is amazing. Wait a minute. There's the unbelieving Jews who would not believe, who were judged, that came out of Egypt, right? Then he goes into another form or story of judgment. He says, the angels who did not keep their proper domain, that's their sin. There were angels who, according to the Bible, sinned against God. They didn't stay in their proper domain. This gets really eerie. But left their own habitation, their own house, their own abode. For example, we're humans, we breathe air. Where can you find us? Living above water. We don't go underwater without assistance. Are you with me? What is our abode? Our abode is this terra firma, this earth. Keep that in mind as we go through this. That these angels of old, they departed from where they should be living. They sinned. It says here, that goes on, that he has reserved, God has reserved them, look, in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. That's a reference to the latter half of the tribulation period. So now we see this puzzle coming together. We've got now, we know four angels under the river Euphrates that are chained, they're bound. Book of Revelation says so, as does the book of Jude. They're very, very nasty, evil, and mean. They've done something that is weird because they disobeyed their natural habitat. They went and did something. They went somewhere that was not authorized. And for this, God bound them up and he's held them under chains. They're not free to run around like Satan is. Satan's free to run around. These four, they're not. Watch this. Verse 7. As, circle the word as, he's teaching us something. If you want to understand what I'm saying more, Jude is saying, consider this, like or as Sodom and Gomorrah. How come he didn't mention Chicago and New York? How come he didn't mention Tel Aviv or Haifa? Why didn't he mention Babylon and Jerusalem? Anybody? Why did he mention Sodom and where? Gomorrah. Why Sodom and Gomorrah? They had a certain kind of sin that they're famous for. You know what I'm talking about? Okay? And the cities that were around them in a similar manner to these. Bible students, circle the word these. In Bible interpretation, the law of understanding is this, that in verse 7, these, I hope you're being a good Bible student right now. You got to circle the word these and draw a line over to the angels that did not stay home. That's who he's talking about. Okay, like Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them that were judged, right, and all that stuff, these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality. What? They went after strange flesh, are set forth as an example of suffering and vengeance of eternal fire. What is he talking about? X-File, Twilight Zone. Weird, freaky weird. If you get nervous, just whistle. This is interesting. The book of Jude says that there were angels who disobeyed God. And for this, by the way, they were booted out of heaven. They're so bad that they're bound under the river Euphrates, chained, never to be loosed until God's divine moment of judgment. What's their sin? They went after strange flesh. The word in Greek is heteros. Heteros, where we get heterosexual. What is heterosexual? For two people of opposite gender of the same kind to procreate. Did you get that? It's the procreation of the same race, but different gender. Heterosexual. That's a good thing. God says a man shall leave his home, a woman, her father, the two shall become one flesh. And they have babies and all that wonderful stuff. Right? Good thing. What's interesting about this is, the angels that did not keep their proper domain, they somehow got engaged in some sort of sexual deviation. They went after strange or hetero flesh. They went after flesh that was not authorized for them. They went after something that was of a different kind. Now listen. God says, whatever they did here, they're chained and they're reserved for the day of judgment. They're exactly who comes out of the ground in Revelation chapter 9. Oh, there's more. Genesis chapter 6, turn there if you will. Genesis 6, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass when men, that's mankind, began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto the men, or mankind. Okay, time out. How do you get mankind? How do you get men? You can't get men without having daughters in the earth. Are you with me? Why? Because women bring forth people. There's a lot of people going on before we ever get to Genesis 6. All of a sudden, whatever's going on is of such a horrific sin that God says these angels who have perpetrated this sin have got to be bound. They can't be loosed. They'll freak out humanity. In such a way, watch this, that when men and women have babies in Genesis, that's normal. But all of a sudden, there's a time when men and women have babies, and there happen to be daughters of these families who, look, Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, that the sons of God, I challenge you to do an Old Testament study on the sons of God. It is exclusively reserved for angels. Angels, exclusively, not humans. Sons of God saw that the daughters of mankind, that they were beautiful. That's creepy. And they took, circle the word took. The word took in Hebrew means this. It means that they mingled with humanity. They just kind of stood there like this. Hi, how are you? Don't pay any attention to us. Which is interesting, because what does Scripture say? That we need to be careful as believers, that we do not be rude to strangers, because in blessing strangers, if we bless them, we have what? We have unknowingly ministered to angels. That's where angels can come and, you know, maybe there's one sitting next to you right now. Who knows? Yes, he is. He's so wonderful. I'm not talking about him. But apparently not like demons. Demons need someone to possess. Angels, both fallen and righteous, can come and go as they please. Manifest and then go away. Demons need a statue, an animal, a human that's vacant of the Spirit of God that they might inhabit. That's why demons are always looking for something to possess. Very, very weird. So listen to this. These sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they mingled with the intent to rape, capture, or to steal them. And by the way, in Hebrew, we already know that these women were already wives. They were captured and stolen by these sons of God to take them unwillingly of the women to be their sexual encounter. You say, you got to be kidding me. I am not going to go far at all in this one direction. It's not good for you to go. But those of you who came out of a satanic worship system in Satanism and the occult, I don't need to tell you about succubus and incubus and those practices. You know very well about those practices. And it is thousands and thousands of years old. The drug-induced, waiting upon a familiar spirit of manifestation whereby sexual acts take place with a spirit entity that leave behind physical manifestations on a human body. Psychologists to this day try to explain that. They don't understand how these marks appear upon a human's body. And yet it's been going on for at least 6,000 years. If that didn't freak you out, then I don't know what will. It is a real dark, sinister world. Now listen. He says here that they didn't keep their proper domain. We already know about that. They took these wives to be with them. Genesis 6, 3, and the Lord said, notice God's response, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. What happened 120 years later? Anybody? The flood came and washed them away. And there were giants on the earth in those days, and also after the flood. How come? Why? When? When the sons of God came into the daughters of mankind, and they were born unto them mighty men, who were of old men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of mankind was great in the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts of his heart were evil continually. Isn't that freaky? By the way, read Samuel. Samuel tells us about these guys. They had six fingers and six toes on each hand and foot. And there were men that stood 9 feet plus in height. They were absolute freaks of nature. But they were supernatural of nature. And most scholars, and I agree with them, they're not the offspring born unto these people from this demonic spiritual cohabitation, which, according to the book of Daniel chapter 2, beginning at verse 42, will happen again during the tribulation period. That they will mingle with the, in the word in Hebrew, in Daniel chapter 2, they will mingle with the sperm of mankind in the actual Hebrew. Isn't that weird? Man, you're not going to get this in an everyday Bible study, would you? No wonder why John Wolford says this chapter is skipped over more than any other chapter of the book of Revelation. This is amazing stuff. Four angels, horribly terrible by nature, by virtue of their terrible sin. Divine judgment is God's reward. So the angels, verse 15, so the four angels who had been prepared, notice God's in control for the hour, the day, the month, and the year. They were released to kill a third of mankind. If you do all of the math and put it together, now half of the world's population is now dead during the last half of the 3.5 year period. A very tragic and terrible time. Second point, verses 16 to 19. When hell comes upon earth, in the book of Revelation, there's a scene of gross devastation. Number one, verse 16, there will be a demon army that will be released upon the earth. Make no mistake about it. Now, the number of the army of the horsemen were 200 million, and I heard the number of them. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look at the footnotes of your Bible. You can read good books. In fact, one of the guys, we know he's a friend of mine, and I love him, but I don't agree with his book. Hal Lindsey wrote the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. Hal Lindsey said that China has an army, an infantry of 200 million soldiers. That's fine, and they do. But this has nothing to do with an earthly army. This is a demon force. These four angels will be used, and when they're released upon the earth, they will bring with them hordes of demons upon the earth. That's wild. Well, listen. Is everybody going to see all these? No, I don't believe people are going to see them. John sees them because he's in the Spirit. Can you imagine being attacked by things you can't see? Remember last week, they're going to be granted the time of how many? 5 months to hurt the people on the earth. Then that time will expire, and then these other ones will come to kill people. Man, aren't you glad you're a Christian today? Amen. Gee whiz. If you're not a Christian, instead of running out of the building, you ought to run forward. You ought to say, man, I don't want this stuff coming. And then if we don't believe it, we take approaches like this. Oh, that's ridiculous. What a stupid fairy tale. Watch out. Technology has taken on the look of a fairy tale. If technology has taken on the look of a fairy tale, can't God, who commands both the physical and spiritual world, through his apostle John, trying to communicate to us 2,000 years later what it's going to be like, for those Christ rejectors that will remain solidified in their concrete, having refused Jesus, what they'll see? We would hail Spielberg and give him an Oscar for portraying this on the screen. God's going to do it for real. And he's not going to get an Oscar for it. In fact, he's going to get rejected for it. We live in a pretty amazing time, huh? Pretty bizarre. A demon army will come. Not only that, verses 17 through 19 teaches us this, that with this army, they have supernatural powers. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyssenith or jethnith blue, sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. That's weird. One commentator I read is a 300-year-old commentary. The guy's trying to explain what's going on here with the lack of modern technology and all that stuff. He said, there's no doubt about it. These are horses that have been dressed up in a masquerade to go to battle to scare the enemy, to make the horses look like they're spiritual entities. Well, the guy got close toward the end. These are not dressed up to look like spiritual entities. They are spiritual entities. You ever seen a horse that has got a face that looks like a lion? You're not gonna. These are spiritual creatures. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. And by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire, smoke, and brimstone which came out of their mouths. Verse 19, and the power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. Church, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, listen, that we as Christians are fighting what? Fleshly battles or spiritual battles? Spiritual battles. Listen to this. Christian, be strong. Any of you under attack? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand, but how about this? Would you say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm getting really whipped? Well, if you're getting whipped, something's wrong. It's okay to be in the battle. We're all in the battle. But if you're getting beat up, something's wrong. You probably ran out of the house without your armor on, spiritually. You know what I'm saying? That's important. You need to put your armor on. Well, how do I do that? Read your Bible, pray, fellowship with God's people. You know what? My day was made before first service ever happened. I had such sweet fellowship with the prayer team in my office before service. I could have gone home after that. After that, everything was downhill. I had my church this morning with those guys. You know what? Do you have that in your life? You've got to get it. If you don't. Who said, I am an island and I'm a rock and a rock or an island feels no pain? Who said that? Paul Simon. That's a pathetic word, isn't it? I am an island, I am a rock, and a rock feels no pain. Well, la-dee-da. Well, what a life to live. I am an island, I am a rock, I feel no pain. To feel no pain is to also know no love. If you're going to guard yourself, you're going to become a big nothing. You'll experience nothing, you'll never venture anything, you'll never know the power of God. And listen, Christians, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm getting my tail kicked. Then listen, are you in the Word? Are you in prayer? Are you in fellowship? Let me put it to you this way. Does this church or the church you're visiting from need you? Do they need you? You need to go back home to your church and you need to be needed. Or if it's in this church, you need to be needed. Why? It's not so much for the church. It's for you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 3. You know, When Hell Meets Earth Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue next time we get together on Real Life Radio. All right, this is Davey J, and I have Pastor Jack in the studio with me. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Davey. Good to see you.
So, our book of the month, it's incredible. It really is. But man, is that a title and a half, right?
Okay. The book of the month is incredible.
Yeah.
And the title is incredible.
It is incredible.
In fact, listen, everybody, I don't want to scare you away by the title. So listen, here goes. It's socialism. That's the title of the book.
Yeah.
The subtitle is The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. And that's by William Federer. And I know that's a whopper, everybody. And you're thinking already, I'm tired from reading the title. Please, please get this book. Number one, I have to tell you all, if you're going to buy any book on socialism, this is the one to buy because he is a researcher.
Yeah,
and true. He does his homework and it is exhaustive. It is encouraging because he's going to let you in on how to identify and really find out what in the world your kids are being taught in their public school system. So this is a must for our Book of the Month friends.
So Pastor, my friends that might not understand the concept of socialism or how dangerous it can be, would you say this might be a book to refer them to or something I can use to equip myself in order to respond to that?
There is no doubt that this is the book for that very thing. Number one, his credibility as an author just stands alone.
Right.
Everything's footnoted, so you can check and see. But absolutely, yes, socialism is here. It's in America. If we don't stop it in the next 5 to 10 years, it will be the new politics of America. So it's not only a great thing to know, yes, it's a great thing to pass on to others.
Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.